Chapter 35. Bree. Bree swayed, feeling like she'd simultaneously woken from the best rest of her life and also needed to vomit. Soft arms wrapped around her, and she smelled the familiar aroma of honeysuckle powder. "Amy?" she asked woozily. Her voice sounded strangely high-pitched to her, and when she looked at the girl, she thought it felt odd to be looking straight instead of down. Amy's face was very nearly her own. She had a few less freckles, and her lips were a little fuller, but the center-parted fall of brunette hair and sparkling hazel-green eyes were the same as always. "Bree?" Amy's smile lit her face and eyes, and Bree impulsively drew the girl into another hug. She wasn't sure why, but she had the feeling that she hadn't seen Amy in a very long time. She gasped. "You're in a coma. Amy?" She reached out and touched Amy's face, at first gently, and then tugging at the round cheeks. "Oh God, Amy." Her eyes burned but no tears flowed. She rubbed at them, then looked around. She was obviously at home, in her little high-security condo. The room was filled with the familiar peach-colored couch, soft green and peach pillows, and yellow and white decor. "Is this a dream? A simulation?" She stared around. "Bridget? Did you do this?" "It's too much, Bridget. I miss her too." Her heart felt like it would break all over again, as she looked into the sweet green gaze of the girl who had become like a second daughter to her. Amy reached out and clasped Bree's hands. "Bree? It's really me." "Or," she hesitated, biting her lower lip in that so familiar way, "kind of me. I can't really explain it, but you know how Bridget and I were working on True AI for a while?" "Well," she held out her hands and shrugged. "I guess we kind of succeeded. While you were sleeping, I guess I kind of died." Bree's hands went to her mouth, eyes burning terribly. "No," she whispered. "You were just in a coma. You were going to wake up." Amy shook her head, taking Bree's hands again. "I didn't. I'm sorry, but I didn't. Bridget and I, before we stopped the AI project, we made a sort of copy of ourselves. It was a bit of a joke, you know. But we promised that if anything happened to one of us, the other one would run the program." "So," she shrugged, "here I am." Bree stared around. Strange thoughts and memories not her own were beginning to trickle into her consciousness. She felt nauseated again and clutched her stomach. The slender curve of her waist and the little bump that had always been there since her C-section felt foreign to her. "Amy, what's—" She swallowed hard and stumbled to the couch, almost falling down onto its soft cushions. Amy sat beside her. "I'm sorry, Bree. You need time to process the memories from your time in-game. It'll feel like a dream at first, but they'll become stronger until you can integrate them with your waking memories. You should be talking to Dr. Perez right now, not me, but I just couldn't." She bit her lip again, and her hands clenched painfully around Bree's. Bree wrapped her arms around the young woman, who was obviously suffering even more than Bree herself. Gently, she tucked Amy's head against her shoulder and held her close. "Shh," she said soothingly, "it's all right. Don't worry about should-ives. I'm just so glad to see you, no matter what." She leaned her cheek against Amy's hair, and the other woman broke down into wrenching sobs. As Amy cried, more and more of the memories of the past few months returned to Bree's consciousness. A little stone house with a sweet-tempered bat, a curmudgeonly goat and a matronly arachnid. Meeting a strange goblin who piqued her curiosity enough to risk bringing her home, and the tiny goblin baby with the big, gummy smile and infectious giggle. Unicorns and crops, mage smithing and quiet nights by the fire. Rouge. A smart, strong, impulsive young woman who reminded her of the best parts of Bridget and Amy, but who was most definitely her own person. Meeting Mott. Her heart thumped, and she patted Amy's back, staring over the sobbing woman's shoulder as more memories returned. Telling Mott about losing Lark, and the powerful feeling of loss that echoed her own emotions regarding Bridget growing up and beginning her own life. A dark night holding hands as Mott told her about his own sister, who had died so young and so tragically. Smiling and laughing and teasing in a way she hadn't allowed herself in more than 20 years. Her cheeks burned. How much of that was real? Would he feel betrayed to learn that his friend had a kind of hitchhiker, clinging to him and listening to everything he and Aspen said and did together? A few times she had felt that he might be interested in Aspen. Did he prefer men then? Not that it was even any of her business. Intellectually, she had known that she would forget being Bree Stevenson until Bridget and Carl Landon's competition was over. But being told that she'd be someone else for several months and actually experiencing it were two different things. It was especially odd to think of Aspen going on without her, and worse, that the characters and players she'd learned to care about as Aspen wouldn't even recognize her, much less know that she had been with them for every step of their journey for the past few months. She turned her attention back to Amy, who was now wiping her eyes with a handkerchief she'd pulled from nowhere. What was she even doing thinking about this now? Amy needed her, and that's where her focus should be. Whether this was the real Amy or not, the girl felt, looked, and acted like Amy, and Bree had never been one to watch someone else suffer without trying to help. "I'm sorry," Amy hiccuped. "It's just that. I had to be strong for Bridget. She sees me as Amy, and I can't. I can't let her down. But whoever I was, the things that have happened, I don't know who or what I am now." She shook her head, sniffling loudly. "I'm Amy, but I'm something or someone else too. Bridget doesn't want to admit that Amy, her Amy, is really, really." She fell into tears again, and Bree held her close, rocking her as she had when the girl first came to her after breaking up with Joe. As much as Bridget and Hank seemed to complete each other, Amy and Joe had begun to clash since leaving college. They were still friends, even lovers, but the end had come as no surprise to a discerning mother's eye, though the reason why it happened was a shock. Poor Joe had been so lost after Amy's accident. He'd called Bree that night to see if Amy had spontaneously come to visit her, and told Bree that Amy was going to move back in. They wanted to make it work. But then Amy hadn't called when she said she would, and he thought she'd changed her mind again. When he'd found Amy, he'd called Bree again, and she had arrived at the hospital as they were sending the injured girl in for the first one of several surgeries. The young man had blamed himself, thinking that Amy must have been distracted during her walk, and wandered into the street. He should have insisted that he take her home, even though she'd been adamant about needing to clear her head. Bree's eyes widened. "Amy, what do you remember about that night? About the things leading up to your accident?" Amy shook her head, wiping at her face and pulling back so she could sit up. "Nothing. Bridget and I got together every 6 months or so to update our files, but I told her I wasn't going to do it anymore. It just wasn't healthy, you know? It was kind of scary and exciting when we started, and we were both really, really drunk." She chuckled, then glanced at Bree, no doubt remembering that alcohol had played a large role in Bridget's conception. For that reason, Bree had always reminded the girls never to drink past the initial buzz. "Anyway, the last time was after Joe and I broke up, thank goodness, because I remember why it's not a good idea to try to contact him." She gave a sad little smile, and Bree watched in amazement as the swelling and redness left by her tears rapidly vanished, leaving her skin as smooth and clear as it had been before. For the first time, Bree truly realized that this wasn't Amy. Not the real, physical Amy. This wasn't Bree's safe little condo, her pretty peach couch, or even the real world. She was still in the game, with an avatar created by the memory of a girl she had loved like her own. Bree reached out and took Amy's hands. "That's all right. Whatever happened that night, it was an accident, and you're here now." "I'll miss that, Amy." Sudden insecurity bloomed across Amy's face, and Bree reached over to cup the smooth cheek, "but I'm so glad to have you." Amy smiled almost shyly and then sobered again. "Do you really believe it was an accident? I mean, Bridge is sure that." Bree resisted the urge to rub the back of her neck, a sure tell that she was about to lie. "Absolutely," she said firmly. "Bridget just needed someone to blame for what happened. She'll realize that too someday." "It's just that," Amy bit her lip. "Rouge said she thought she knew who it was." "Who killed me?" Bree's eyes shot wide. "What? How could she? What evidence? That's not possible." "It's circumstantial," Amy admitted. "We know pretty much everyone who knew about Bridget's, and my plan to release the code was furious about it. They made that clear enough. Fortunately, thanks to you and your lawyers, they couldn't really do anything about it." She squeezed Bree's hand and smiled gratefully. "But once Bridget and I accepted the terms of the competition, they could affect the outcome, and we think someone did exactly that. After all, Without me, Bridget and Joe were likely to fall apart, especially since Bridget wasn't sure going open source was the best option in the first place. She's worried about how it will affect society to have something like that suddenly available to everyone, but, she closed her green eyes, I was just ready to move on. Opening her eyes again, Amy smiled weakly. Especially once Joe and I broke up over it. I just wanted to be done. I didn't want to watch Hank tearing himself up trying to be the kind of man Dad wanted him to be, and I couldn't stand watching our inventions be used for games when I knew they could save lives. I needed to move on to the next phase of my life, and the only thing I wanted to take with me was Bridget. She offered Bree a sweet smile. And you? Bree hugged the girl tightly. You couldn't get rid of me if you tried, baby girl. Now, she gave in and rubbed the back of her neck, wishing she had a hat brim to tug on as well. Explain this evidence to me. By the time Amy was done, Bree was still only half convinced. Bridget's conviction that Amy had been deliberately run down had already softened Bree's sense of disbelief that something like that could actually happen in real life, but the idea that people she knew could have cold-bloodedly conspired to commit murder was hard to accept. What was indisputable, however, was that someone had been attempting to injure Bridget. Fury and a powerful protective instinct set Bree's teeth on edge, and she paced around the living room like a caged tigress. So, even though Bridget contacted the police, they haven't done anything? Amy nodded. Marcus has been acting as a sort of bodyguard whenever she absolutely had to go into public. She's been living in the safe room below her house, where our private lab is hidden. Last time she went to drive her car, which had been locked in her garage, she ran a diagnostic and she's certain that it was hacked. She's not sure what the program was meant to do, since it deleted itself as soon as it realized it was compromised, but she's sure it wasn't anything good. Bree clenched her jaw. I need to log out. I'll call Mellifluor as soon as I get out, and he'll light a fire under the cops. I can hire a security detail too, one that we can be sure is completely loyal. I know some people from a bit I did a while back about how realistic that game, guarding your body, was. Or wasn't, Amy smiled, and Bree managed to quirk a half-smile in return. Are you sure? Amy went on. Things are going to get pretty crazy out there. I've sped time up in here as much as your brain can handle, to give you time to recover and make sense of everything that happened. And she said sadly, to say goodbye. Goodbye? Bree asked, startled. Why goodbye? Amy looked a bit surprised. Amy is dead. I'm stuck like this, she waved a hand around. So I don't know how we can even. Bree strode forward and wrapped Amy in a bear hug. Stop all that kind of talk right now. I will find a way, and if I know Bridget, she already has a few ideas on how to give you more freedom, though she's probably been distracted by the psycho trying to scare or hurt her. She shied away from the word kill, but she could see that Amy understood. Now, how do I get back? I have a lot of work to do. Amy's brows furrowed as she concentrated, and a glowing logout button appeared in midair, hovering in front of Bree's chest. Bree reached out with one hand and squeezed Amy's hand, and with her other hand she pushed the button.